today.
Can you interpret that in English? That means
there is no God like our God. There's no God like our God.
All right. Praised be the name of the Lord. That means this Jesus Christ, the Lord we have, there is none like Him. Amen. That is this kind of God, another one who I think is called Pidgin English or Dragon English or something like that. So for people who may not understand it, he's saying that the God we have, the God we serve, the God we believe in, that there is none like Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you can go look around, look in the east, west, north, south, wherever. There is no other God like our God. Amen. And so we bless the name of the Lord. Amen. And we give Him thanks. Thank you, praise team. You did a terrific job. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Lord is good. Amen. Just join me in singing the first stanza of Abide With Me. Abide With Me. Just the first line of it and so on. Amen. Sister Christine, can you help me raise that one? I told the praise team to go and then.
Fast of thy even tide, the darkness deeper.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, abide with us. Even when darkness seems to be coming, you've promised in your word that you will never leave, you will never forsake us, you will never forsake us at any point in our life, in this Christian journey. And we are thankful because your word is here and amen. Many a times the enemy seems to paint a picture that the Lord is not there for us, but you are always there. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for enduring love towards us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. You are God alone. There is none like you. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is good, and His mercies also endure forever. Amen. So we said, abide with me, fast for the eventide. Today, our message for this morning is trials are a prelude to promotions. Trials. It's a topic that we all are, at one point or another, has been touched by trials. As no human being, either the greatest of the great or the lowest of all the low, that has not faced one kind of trials or the other in their life. And it's a situation that when it comes, you cry out to God and say, abide with me, for fast fall the eventide. Darkness seems to be upon us. And many times it seems like comfort and all helper seems to flee away. And he said, help of the helpless. At that point, we realize how helpless we are. I've seen great people. I see people who have it all, or seem to have it all. But when trial, which is a test of faith, comes, when trial, which is a test of faith through trials and afflictions, through troubles and affliction comes, you see them suddenly realize that they are nothing. We are nothing. Remember a case in the scripture, a man that the whole kingdom of the world fears, Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria. He has his trials, nobody will know it, but his name that is feared is a mighty man of valor, second to only the king. But he has trial in his life. He has a sickness, one that he has to cover and go to war, pretend that all is well, and do all these mighty things. So also in the life of many of us, even at this moment, you might be going through life trials. And when you go through this, you tend to wonder at times, where will my help come from? Where is God taking me through this? I say that the topic is that trials are a prelude to promotions. And as we go through the scripture this morning, you see some of it, you say, wow, that is real, that is true. But going through it is not easy. Going through life trial is not easy. However, it is essential for every child of God. It is an integral part of our Christian journey. For even as a gem are polished, not without a friction, there have to be a friction through the process. So a child of God can only through trials be made perfect in this Christian walk. If you don't have trials in your life, then you don't have testimony. If you don't have testimony, what is your witness? What do you have? Throughout the scriptures, we see people go through it. Some people survive it, some people come through it, and then they receive promotion, even Christ Jesus. And many of us capitulated, you give up, we yield, we backed off. But there is a reason why the Most High God allowed trials in our Christian journey. You see people call it trials in different places. Some call it troubles, some call it temptation, tribulation, some call it afflictions, adversity, different names in the Bible, persecutions and so on and so forth, that they call it. All these things are related, and none of us are immune to it. I don't care how much faith you have. In fact, the greater faith you have, it seems the greater your trials. The level of the things that comes towards you, that try to push you down. I've seen great men of God. I've heard of them. They come on the pulpit and preach these wonderful messages and do great things for God, and then they go home or they fight their own battles. You couldn't believe what they are fighting, the things that they are going through in their personal life. There are people who are presidents and people who are well-renowned. They have all the resources and the power that seems to be, but still, they go through trial. But today, we are talking of our Christian trial belief system that says that through many sufferings, we may come to that perfect place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? The admonition today is that if you do the right thing, if you go through it according to the word of God, if you hold on unto God's word, no matter what the trial may be, and there are different types. There are small trials, just like you have Burger King, medium-sized ones, extra large. They have super ones like Job. Since that man made trial famous, when you talk of trials, we talk of Job. And when you talk of Job, you see what this guy went through, the dimensions of trial that he went through, the spiritual battle, the physical one, the emotional one, the financial one, health one. He has all this package put together. And when you see some of us say, Lord, I don't want anything to do with this trial. As I said, there are small and big ones. His own is something else. You shiver even to think about it. But one thing though, he made a statement that seems to show that he understands. He said that man, born of woman, are a few days and full of many troubles. That is the word of Job. But he held on to God through all his circumstances, and at the end of the day, there's something that the Bible says, that his later end was better than his beginning. For every trouble he went through, he got double portion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And today he has a testimony that endures. Habitually stating that he endured and prevailed. And may God give us grace no matter what you are going through in your own personal life this morning. No matter what you are facing. I pray that the grace of God will abide. That you will prevail. You will come through it. You will come through it through the mud, through the dust, through the storm, through the confusion, through the uncertainties and everything. You come out smelling like a rose on the other end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. And he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, please. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1-7. For the light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's one of the scriptures I read many years ago, and I was a little frustrated and angry, especially at the point I was going through the series of trials we go through in life. And I looked at it, I said, for the light affliction, I said, Lord, this nightmare that I wake up with and go to sleep with, my heart practically gives up when I go through it. Why would Paul, is he saying or something, consider to call it light affliction? Light affliction. And I know he wasn't describing just any, he was describing the worst case scenario of the trial that you may face in life. He called it light affliction. But he's being directed by the Holy Spirit, and he put it just like it. You go through all the people who wrote the scripture, nobody changed much out of this. They call it light affliction. Minimal, small, of no consequence almost. But this is something that is giving you a nightmare. Then I start to consider the life of the man who called this light affliction. Who is Saul? Who is Paul? This is a man that says 40 times minus 1 times 5 have I received beatings. In those era, they used barbed wire as a whip put inside the strips of the whatever they used to beat you with. So he has received 5 times 39 whippings on his back from the Jews. These are not children putting the lashes. These are grown-up men trained to beat you with that long whip. So if you look at the back of our brother Paul, you are not going to see any skin left there. 195 times has he received lashes. This is a man that has been beaten and left for dead. This is is a man that has been beaten with rods 3 times. This is a man that says, my life is constantly in peril. He said, in the wilderness, in the sea, within even the church, on the outside. He said, I was in fasting. At times I have nothing. At times there is nothing for him. At a point, the governor of a certain place called Damascenes have to take the whole garrison to secure the whole city looking for him. He was laid down through the wall for him to escape. He has been thrown aside, left for dead. This is not just an ordinary man. This is an Ivy League graduate, a doctorate degree holder. He trained under the best Gamaliel. He is very learned, unlike none in his time. Even the king admonished that you are too many learning has made you mad. He is not of mean origin. He is a citizen of the number one nation of the whole world. Once while he was in the dungeon, they wanted to give him one punishment. He said, but you cannot give a Roman citizen this punishment. He said, what? I bought the commander of the prison, of the dungeon. Say, I bought this Roman citizen with a huge amount of money. He said, but I was born a Roman. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, there are some that call themselves Hebrew, but I am of the Hebrew of the Hebrews. In religion, in art, in everything, in the law, perfection. And he has gone through all this nightmare and have the audacity to call it what? Light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. I don't know how we can just justify that without saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I'm going to come to a point, I will explain some few things, that you might be going through a lot, and we don't in any way take away from it. You might be seeing this darkness at this point in your life and say, wow, how am I going to come out of it? But I want you to reflect, because that many years ago, I thought of this and looked upon this man's life and saw what he, with all the things I described, and I didn't describe all of them. He still called it light affliction in comparison to what is to come, in comparison to what God has in preparation for them that love him. He said, eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, neither have the mind of any one of us here perceived what God have put together for them that love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are principles that teaches us that these things can be, trials can be spiritual at times. It can also be physical. It can also be in the emotional level. We have people that have financial troubles, trials and stuff. We have people that have health issue that is trial. I've had people that I prayed with and work with, their own is children, their family. Some is husband, some is wife. Some are even people in the ministry. So it cut across different spheres of life. But one thing I notice is that no matter how big or small is trial, trial is still trial. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is something that is not non-natural to the flesh. It goes hard against the flesh. It goes hard against the person. At times, it takes over the thinking apparatus, overwhelming every system in your body. Because our natural hope is to just let this go. Let this be done away with. I want it out of my way. I want to have my life back. I want everything to be normal the way it should be. But we said at the beginning of this message that the title that you are trials are a prelude to what? Promotions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can also say maybe, because a lot depends on how you handle your trials. Book of James gave us a lot of idea on how to work to turn our prayers to promotions, to God's glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's turn to James chapter 1 verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. James 1 12. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. One of the names it is called. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, this is when you have the foresight to see the value in your trial. To see the value in your trials. For you to be able to put in what it takes to overcome and endure and triumph. You have to be able to see the value, the end of it, the part that is this crown of life. It may not necessarily be crown of life in every situation, but this is what the Bible promised in the highest level. That when you endure this temptation and overcome, you have something you can look forward to at the end of it. You put value in your trial. We are coming down to it a little. Now, if you look at book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, 11:13 of book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:13, I start to wonder how these women, and we are going to read it out to all of us this morning. He said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They have a hope of what is coming. They were persuaded of them." You are now persuaded that this your trial, whatever you are going through now, is not the end. There is something at the end of it. And you embrace it, and you even confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Let's move to 11:35 so that we can explain this part better. Hebrews 11:35, please. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Go to 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These are people like Emmanuel, like brother here, or sister here, who is sitting in this church today. Who at times, the cruel way these people are treated is beyond human imagination. A mother, half her own daughter, being tortured in the presence of the mother, in every imaginable evil way you can think of, asking them to recount and give up the name of Jesus Christ. A husband seeing his family being torn apart, being pulled apart. Go read some of the Christian book of faith, of Forces Books of Martyrs. People being cut off their head, people being thrown to the lions, people being abused in such inhuman ways. And the only condition is you are tempted to give up your faith. And I wonder, why is it that these people could not? My God, can I do it? I don't think so. Why? Because they have seen the promotion, what God has promised, that this is just a transitional period, that at the end of it, there is a crown of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Another part that this brother James brought out is James chapter 1, verse 2. The same chapter. James 1, 2. James 1, 2, please. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Just 1, 2 is all we want. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. I have to confess, I've been trying to. Please, do what the Bible says. Count it all joy. Be joyful. But I do ask God, I'm being pinched. I'm being pulled apart. I'm being knocked around in every aspect. And how on earth am I going to be joyful? Sincerely speaking. I cry at times. I howl. When my wife is not watching, or anybody watching, I become me, Emmanuel, just another helpless child, saying, Lord, help me out. So do what the Bible says. Count it all joy. When I come to my senses at times, I see why the Bible says count it all joy. Because of the same reason why those women are scourged, torn asunder, destitute, condemned to dungeons, inhuman treatment, because they have within them the ability to see, the ability to understand that there's a value, there is a winning, there's a victory, there's a crown of life at the end of all this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 3 of James is chapter 1, verse 5 of James. In this one, I say, pray, hold on unto God, don't yield, don't give up, even at the darkest of time. He said, at this time is when you have to pray and ask God for wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge will give you facts of certain trials you are going through. And you then can use wisdom to be able to solve those facts, those problems. You see, trials are structured, programmed for certain reason. If I call several of us who are sitting here in this morning and say, what is it that you want God to take away from you? That is bothering you. That is your major headache. What is the number one thing that is bothering you? You see that virtually every one of us, we may have something. Thanks be to God, there might be somebody here who is not having any trial. Who doesn't have something that is bugging them? Who doesn't have something that is practically, if not for God's grace, keeping you awake in the night? There might be some, but in my experience, virtually no. It may be small, it may be big, but we are all going through something. But you ask somebody what they see, that each one of us have something different. Each one of us have something different. But God has structured it in such a way that whatever you are going through is for a purpose at that point in time. We may not always see it, understand it that way, but God allows these things for a reason. You wake up in the morning, everything is all okay, only for you to get a call that things have gone from bad to worse. And you ask yourself, oh, yesterday night things were peaceful. And this morning, it looks like it has gone through the window. You are now in a mood of, my God, what am I going to do? So that's as the trials. So whatever we test your faith, whatever that is inconveniencing, troubles, afflictions of the moment. But from the beginning, you have to really take this in stride by going to God in prayer and asking for help, asking for guidance. Because many a times where we fail, we come into that is when we allow the arm of the flesh to step in instead of turning unto him who is able to help and to deliver us in our trials. And it's not good for you to close your eyes or your mind and say, well, I'm going to think. You have to really deal with the situations of your trials. You have to see it. You have to understand it. Then you have to apply these principles we are talking about so that it doesn't overwhelm you. Rather, you're able to turn it around for good and to the glory of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last part of our brother James' teaching on trial was on patience. This is where all of us, many of us, or most of us has failed when there are trials on the way. Patience, let's read James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that you are trying, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Then he says in 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That your trial worketh out something in you, patience. This is the area we all, or myself and many of us, has failed. We are not able to endure. We are not able to wait for the salvation of God. We are not able to wait and see what God has in mind for this time of affliction that we are going through, or tribulations. We tend to do things our own way without seeking God's help or God's guidance because it's so stormy and crowded and confusing that we just feel, let me apply my own way. You see, there are people in the Bible that have done it right. And I pray that God will give us grace. And there are people that have done it wrong. I'm going to bring out a couple. And I pray that God will help us to see through their own mistakes so that we don't repeat. Patience is the most integral thing that you need when you are going through trials. I've been in a situation, I say, well, by next week it will be over. I didn't know it was just gathering steam. It's just beginning. I move it out to the next 2 weeks. Lord, it has to happen within the next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks, he seems to have grown taller and bigger and mightier. Then you start coming down to it. Maybe this is a long marathon kind of scenario here. And many a times we allow our patience to go down because we want it done, but God is not yet done. It is we that want it done, but God is not yet done. One of such people that did it right was Job. We use him as an example because his was supersized trial, a type I don't want. He cut across every sphere. He cut against the spiritual, the physical, the financial, the health, the family. My God, everything was touched. But he says in the beginning that he did one thing that we failed to do. He said he fell down and worshiped and committed his life and everything he is unto God. And even when friends and family that love him, seeing the level of suffering and pain that this man is going through, ask him, do not wait. There's no need for patience at this point. End it all. Curse God and die. He reasoned. I've seen the good times. God brought it. And now there's bad time coming. Who am I? I will wait and see the salvation of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will wait and see the salvation of God. I will not in my own hand, in any form or manner, do something against God, against myself, against the will of God. Let me wait and see what God will do. And this whole thing started for months. I would think it's for months because the duration of these things to happen, the duration of his friends, three good friends that came, and they sat with him and talked to him on daily basis, telling him, this is over. You need to give it up. But he held on. He said something. Later on, I want to bring it out now. I think it's Job 23, verse 10. Job 23, verse 10. Yeah, Job 23, 10. The book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. He answered them. Who knows? God. He knows everything you are going through. Many times I feel that he doesn't know. Many times I feel that his back is turned on me. Many times I feel that he doesn't see. He doesn't relate to what I am going through at this point. But Job, even in his high-end trial, is going through, say, God knoweth the way that I take. I'm going through. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth like what? Gold. We all know the process of gold being gold. Dumped in the mud from under the earth, full of impurities, dirt, mud, dust, everything. It is taken and washed and washed and washed and washed over and over. And then it is taken through a purification system. And then it's taken through purification system until the pure gold comes out. And as we stated in the beginning, the gems, the gold, the diamond, the things you see, they are not bright without friction. And you, a child of God, cannot be made perfect without trial. He said that when I have gone through all this, I shall come forth as gold. The end result. He understood it. Unfortunately, friends and family did not see it like that. They will rather tell him, no, don't have patience. Let it go. There's another man that lost patience, a great man of faith. A man that is able to hold on unto God and is counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham. Friends again and family came and said, look, we have a solution. You don't have to wait to the end of this trial. You know what? Just let's find a solution. And this is the solution. But God has spoken to him. God has given him that word that yea and amen from beginning. That of your wife, that's going to comfort a child. But now it starts taking time. I don't think his faith was that much impaired, but being that he was being pushed, he kind of wavered for a moment. And always say, that's a lesson we all need to learn. Look at that one moment of wavering. The headache it is costing us till today. Ishmael was the outcome of it. We're about to go to nuclear war because of that Ishmael today. Thousands of years later on, one single mistake, impatient to wait for God's salvation, although his own, as I say, my God, we're using the worst case scenarios here. 25 whole years. I don't even know if I can last 3 months. But they did last it. He failed in that regard and went in, and there comes Ishmael until today. We are going through trouble because of Ishmael. David, in this case, did a great thing. The last person I will use as an example. A man of no consequence. A family of not couldn't be reckoned in Israel. Yet God called his prophet Samuel, go and anoint somebody in this family. He doesn't know God didn't show him who to anoint. He came and saw 7 sons, every one of them looking able and fine. He said, the Lord anointed is before him, the first son. The Lord said, I have not chosen that one. They threw a party without inviting him. Finally, they go, brought him out from the wilderness where he was shepherds, fighting with the weather and the animals and everything. And God anointed him. He didn't ask for this position. He didn't pray for it. In his wildest imagination, he would never think to be king. He was anointed. He started doing what God asked him to do. The king of Israel took him into his own habitation, Saul. And they started walking together and raising. And then evil came in the land. Saul transgressed against God. And so there was judgment. God took the kingdom from Saul and gave it to David. And David, though he didn't ask for it, now become, quote unquote, king of Israel, but not yet king. Anointed but not ordained. Things happen that this evil spirit that is in Saul keep egging him to kill this man. At every turn, he's looking for a way to kill David. Because he knows that God has given him the position of king of Israel, of his people. One day he threw a javelin and nearly killed him. And after that, David said, if I stay here one of these days, I'm going to die. I only did what God asked me to do. I only did what the king asked me to do. Go to war against his enemies. I didn't ask the women or the men to start singing praises about me. I didn't ask any of this. He took off and ran away. A king on the run. A king that is not recognized. A king that was not ordained yet, but anointed. He went to his enemies, the children of Ammon, to hide among them. He has to pretend to be mad. And so on and so forth. He could not sleep in his own house. He could not take refuge in any town in Israel or even a town because everybody is afraid of Saul. So he was running from mountain to mountain, from cave to cave. He was hiding in every place he can. And then people start to gather around him. Not good people. Most of them bad, the ugly, and few good ones. People that are murderers, people that are killers, people that are rebels, people that are evil, they came and made him their leader. Couldn't say no. He needs people also. And one day, his trial seems to have a solution. Saul gathered 3,000 men of Israel, Navy SEALs of his day, men mighty in war, to seek for one little David. And they came and in the night decided to sleep. And they were sleeping on the outer space, not knowing that David was in the inner cave, mountain cave, with his men. And so, friends again came. People under him and said, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand. Allow us. We will kill him right today. And there ends your trial. And there ends your affliction. And there ends your tribulation. Your nightmare is over. You are already anointed king. Here is the fake king sleeping there. The Lord brought him into this cave for a purpose. The purpose is that you should kill him. And David said, what? No! Amen? Ah, my God. I look at that and say, Lord, help me. What would I do if I was in the shoe of David? He said, no, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. I will not hasten my own salvation in this issue. The arm of the flesh shall not prevail in this issue. I will wait for God's appointed time. It may be long in coming. He may go to the war, a battle and fall. He may be riding a horse and thrown and die. He may die while sleeping on his bed. But the hand of David will not take the life of Saul to self-deliver myself. So let patience do what? Have it perfect work. In the book of James, let patience have it perfect work. The favor that David will have had with God will have gone if he has gone to take Saul's life. The enemy planted this for him to fail. For him to completely give up that blessing that will have come, where we go later on and say, I make a covenant with the house of David unto eternity. Till today, the Star of David shines in Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord anointed. Rather, I will do this thing. He crept down all the way to where this man is sleeping with thousands of people around him and took a knife. The time he will take to cut off, you know, the garment of those days are very strong, to cut off part of it. He cut it off and went away. Went to the top of a mountain and called a king. Far away from him, they came and said, who are you, David? Shouting and say, oh king, I don't have you, I don't see you as an enemy. I have opportunity tonight to take your life. But I refused because I fear the Lord God. I will wait for the salvation of God. I will wait for God to do what he has promised about me. I will not force it upon God or force it by myself. I will wait. The king of Israel cried, my son David, now I know that the Lord has established you. Who in his right mind, with evil men around him, egging him, people that are murderers and killers egging him, say, if you don't do this, we're going to kill you and remove you from this place of authority. And you withstood them and preserved my life. Now I know that the Lord will give you this kingdom. I will go home and not pursue you. Down the line, a few months later on, the evil spirit came again. Go after David. So that David can yield his blessing and give it up. He came after him the second time again. The same scenario repeated. He came with thousands to pursue David, to take his life, to kill him. This is your enemy that the Lord has brought. And this time he said, a deep sleep fell upon Saul and the host of Israel. So that they are not turning, nobody's scratching their head, nobody's wiggling when they are sleeping. A deep sleep, he said, from who? From the Lord fell upon them. And Abishai said, my God, the prophets among them. All of them say, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand again. You messed up the first one, and he's giving you a double, a chance to recover. If you don't know how to kill, Abishai said, I'm a man of war. I'm trained to kill. Just give me permission. Just one single stroke, and I will end Saul's life. You did him a favor the second one, he came back the second one. Ask myself, Emmanuel, will you be able to do that? And what did David say again? I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. I will not take his life. I will let patience to have its perfect work. I will wait for the salvation of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is able to deliver me, and at the right time he will deliver. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will not kill him, he says. He walked down, tiptoed into the midst of death with thousands sleeping around the king. He took his javelin, he took his water bottle, and went again on top of the mountain and called unto him and said, hey, O king, you come back again, and I still say, I will not kill, I will not take your life. And Saul cried out, my God, who is like this man? The Lord will do great things through you. And I say, as you endure through your trial, the Lord will do great things through your life in Jesus' mighty name. You will prevail, you will come out of this, and you will triumph in Jesus' mighty name. Patience will have its perfect work. The enemy will not take it away from you. You will endure and you will prevail. The enemy will not laugh over you. You are triumphant in Jesus' mighty name. As we close, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Quickly, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. 8 and 9. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not what? Distressed. Troubled on every side. There's a time you just look at it, it's coming from every angle. from the right foot, leg foot, head, tail, left, right. It just seems, he said, but we are not distressed because the grace of God is upon your life. We are perplexed. Those are natural reflections that will happen. But we are never in despair. Amen? 9, please. Go to 9. Persecuted, but you will never be forsaken. Cast down, but never destroyed. You are never destroyed in the name of Jesus. When these things are happening, let us learn to trust on God's grace. By God's grace, not by the arms of flesh. That's a saying that Americans say, when life has handed you a lemon, you go on and make a lemonade out of it. And I find out that we all have a part to play in our trials. You have to understand what God, or ask God, what is it you want me to learn from this experience? Then you have to work towards it to achieve it with God. Your trials, especially the deep-rooted ones, that seems to have no solution to it, that seems to, that the back of the Lord has turned, it's not the case. God knows every one of them, just like a son, Job says, he knoweth my way and every way that I will take. When life gives you a lemon, make a lemonade. Learn to make a crown out of your thorn. Turn your defeat into victory. And your trials into triumph. Amen? Learn not to be a victim, but a victor. Even as the stars that shines brightest in the darkest night, so shall your portion be in Jesus' name. Learn to endure by the grace of God, for even Christ Jesus, our Lord and King, he endured trials, tribulations, shame of the cross, tortured, hung. But they said the Lord God, mighty God, exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that even till today and forever, every knee, every tongue shall bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. I want you to know, brethren, that God never moves without a purpose. Every action of God, there's a reason for it. We, in our immaturity, and being human beings that we are at times think that he doesn't have it all together. God does have it all together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter how confusing and how distracting it might be, there is a purpose to your trial. When he allows trial for his children or for molding a man, there's a purpose for it. Let God give us grace to endure. When the test seems to be overwhelming, learn to take his hand and focus on the guiding light that will guide you even through the midnight hour. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Know that after you have been tested and tried and purified, you shall come forth like a pure gold without a dross. Let's stand up and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Amen. It might be that in the time you hear this message through the ministry or through the any other area, anybody that is watching, I've had to walk into people's house who told me the trial is so much I want to end it or take my own life. I had to pray with people at times who, and I understand where it is. It becomes so overwhelming. I was with a young man one time who said, I have to go to Mexico away from everybody to take my own life because I can't just handle it again. And it looks overwhelming too. It seems overwhelming. It may be hard for you at this point and you say, hey, where am I going to turn to? I want you to know that the writer said, abide with me for fast for the evening. The darkness may deepen, but the Lord still with me abide. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When all helps has fell, he say, help of the helpless, he will abide with you. I want you to know that you can turn to the Lord and give your life to him. And that's how the journey of redemption and journey of help. And the Lord is able to help you. Anybody standing here or hearing this, and you are going through severe trials, a moment of that huge confusion and thing that happens with trial, learn to trust in the Lord. And then learn to endure and hold on to God's hand. He's a guiding light. He will take you out of this darkness into His marvelous light. For that is what God can do. In Jesus' name we speak. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. The praising can come back. Abide with me. Fast for the evening time. The darkness deep burns, Lord. That you renounce thy help. It's a cry coming from me and from many others who at the point or even at this moment is going through life trials. We are helpless and needful children, Lord. We are extending our hand and say, Lord, reach out to us and bring your helping hand. Help of the helpless, Lord, hear me. In every trial, in every situation, you have a purpose. Reveal to us your purpose, Lord, that we may understand it. Help us, Lord Jehovah God, to hold forth, that at the end of the day, that crown of life will not escape us. That we will triumph and hold on to God's word. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone who is going through dark hours at this period. This midnight time, Lord Jehovah God. Bring them forth, Lord. Bring them to the dawn, Lord. Bring them to your light in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you all.